Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm surviving. I'm melting, but I'm surviving. If you can hear my fans, I'm not even sorry for that.
Wait, hold on, you're not wearing pants?
Well,
you
no,
you can hear her fans.
Oh. I was just like, oh man, I didn't know that this was the pantsless episode. Dang it.
I mean, when it's this hot, I'm usually wearing a dress, which means I am in fact not wearing pants.
I'm only on camera, like chest up, so I can be pantsless all I want.
Yep.
And I am.
Stand up and prove it.
No.
Yeah.
We ain't trying to get banned on Twitch.
I'm just lazy. I have shorts on, though, no pants.
It's good to know.
I would say pants or shorts are pants, but according to the dress code that I had to sign recently, that's not true. So high school dress code.
Do tell.
Thing. No, like, I think I've talked about it before. Like, the dress code here is fucking stupid. And
I know you mentioned that the, like, dresses can't be 3 inches and they measure with the phone.
Yeah, that's for shorts, too.
Oh, God.
Imagine being as tall as number one and getting dress coded while wearing Bermuda shorts.
I don't know how tall happened. Number one is.
Number one is 5'5". She's 17.
A healthy height.
Yeah. She's average, but she's been dress coded for wearing Bermuda shorts because they were 4 inches above the knee.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't have to go through that shit in school.
Yeah.
Don't wear racist shit and you're okay.
Well, and here they don't even care if you wear racist shit. They just
now
care
you're allowed
if you're
to wear
a girl
MAGA hats.
Showing your clavicle. She has been dress coded for having too much of her clavicle exposed. Not cleavage.
Right.
Clavicle. You could
see. Well, you know, teens are all into that hot clavicle action.
Yeah.
You should have just been like, why are you staring at my daughter's clavicle?
Yeah, it's. I've said a few choice words, and they are not fans of me at that school. I can tell you for certain that they will be dancing in the aisles when she graduates this spring, and then they will be weeping in their office chairs when they realize they get my next one next fall. Get fucked. I have a kid in every fucking school system. They're all putting up with my bullshit.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, it's a party every year. The funny part is like they won't push the dress code stuff the first week. So they're like, oh, we're letting you acclimate to the you know, new school year. Some people are new and don't know dress codes. We give you time to get the appropriate clothes. And then they really just lean into it that second week. And I'm already geared up for the fight. Like they send this dress code thing home. And she gave me all of her paperwork to sign last night. Yesterday was her first day. And like, you know, you have to sign like, oh yes, you know, you treat them if they have a medical issue, or you can call me if they have to go to this hospital or whatever. And then you have to sign the dress code. You have to sign that you got the school rule book, and you have to sign that you read the dress code. And I did not sign the dress code. I flipped it over. And I wrote a lovely long letter on the back about how if anybody so much as considers putting a fucking phone anywhere on my daughter's body to measure anything, that there will be a sexual harassment case, because I'm not doing this shit anymore.
That's good.
I'm
well done. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, this is
absolutely.
They did it to her 2 years ago. They did it to her. over a pair of shorts, and then a couple other times over skirts. And the crazy part was she would wear a skirt and she would have on leggings under the skirt, and they would still dress code her.
With leggings on?
Yeah, under the skirt.
What the fuck?
So, yeah, that has been a whole shebang the last few years. Last year, she didn't go to in person. She did virtual academy, so we kind of didn't have to deal with it. But this year, she didn't get the opportunity to do virtual academy, so here we are. And
this week in Cole School District sucks.
Yeah, if you guys hear of a crazy fat lady in rural Kentucky, like, burning a high school down, it wasn't me.
I don't believe you.
FBI, don't open up. It wasn't me.
I do not believe you. And I am going to restart the show because this is all evidence. And I don't want that. So video Joe games.
Joe wishes there was another way for us to be known nationally.
Yeah. From the SMF podcast. Wait, what? No, they can't even get our fucking name right?
There's no such thing as bad publicity as long as they spell your name right.
I don't know. I don't know if that's really true.
They spell my name right.
They always put an H in mine. Although when I did win my award for a painting I did.
There's he is.
When I did my award for a painting in January, they spelled my name right. It was like the first time ever. I was so happy.
I think Ian's joining.
Yeah, he joined, but he isn't showing video.
Because I don't have a camera set up.
Hey, we can hear him. Yay!
No, but seriously, fuck this program.
Yeah,
no, I've literally had to reinstall it every time I come on the show because it always fucks out.
Oh, man. All right, I'm going to have to get over to Discord eventually. That'll be another program Jacob would be like, how do I run it?
Fuck you, I already have it on my phone. We use it for work.
And he still doesn't know how to use it.
No?
But Ian Griffin, you're on the show. How are you doing, bud?
Aside from technical difficulties, kind of hot and muggy.
Yeah, it is.
Ian, do you have swamp tit too?
Do I have what?
Swamp tit.
No.
Oh,
not quite that bad. Not quite that bad.
That's unfortunate. I mean, not for you, for me, but you know.
But yeah, it's been unbearably muggy and stuffy and crappy and blech. But no, I'm doing okay.
This show is such a train wreck.
Ian, how do you feel about school dress codes?
It depends on how anal they are.
Do you believe they should be putting a cell phone on an underage girl's thigh to measure the length of her skirt?
Run that by me one more time.
FBI, open up. Did they put a cell phone on an underage girl's thigh to measure the length of her skirt?
I think it's time you find a new school. Yeah. I was going to say, isn't that like illegal in like 47
probably,
states?
Probably at least a few, but they were doing that shit out here.
Okay there, hold on. Let me put my phone right here on your thigh. Just need to measure the hemline here. No, I'm not taking pictures. This is a new measuring app. Yeah. Here,
no,
you
wait, this is the level. Hold on. I know there's the app on here somewhere. This is the compass. No, I don't want to circle in figure eight to get it to work. Just fucking work.
Video games, yeah. Though. Those are apps that work.
Yeah, I was going to say Uncle Creepy is a little more subtle than that.
Yeah, we should talk about video games. There was a lot of news this week. I guess the big news was Nintendo held one of their little indie events, and not going to go through everything, but some of the highlights. The big thing is that Axiom Verge 2 surprise launched.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, it launched on Switch, PS4, and Epic Game Store.
Why?
Because they could only get that done in time.
Well, that's balls.
They confirmed, or Tom Happ, the one guy who does it all by himself, confirmed that it is coming probably either later this year or early next year on Xbox. So it is coming. They just couldn't get it ready in time for launching alongside the others.
You know what just recently dawned on me? Like, in my head, I'm kind of like, oh, next year, that's so far away. But it's really only a few months.
Yeah.
It's not that far.
Yeah.
It could be right around the corner. Also right around the corner.
Axiom Verge 2 being made.
Yeah. Yeah, the first Axiom Verge was really good.
I have never played it.
I actually played it. And I thought it was pretty cool, but I kind of got slight, well, I don't want to say peeved, but it was one of those things where, like, I wanted to get into a good Metroidvania game since it's been, like, forever and a day, and I gave it a try, and I kind of got to a point where I felt like I was too dumb to figure out where I was supposed to go. You know, that sort of thing. It's like you know how you kind of get to certain locations, and it's like, am I just an idiot for not figuring this out, or do I need a doodad doohickey in order to progress beyond this point that I don't know exists?
Yeah.
I get to that part quite a bit. I remember that's what stopped me with Shadow Complex back in the day. Because it just felt like every single area was just the same damn thing over and over again. And I didn't know what the hell I was missing. So
yeah. And yeah, and I don't mean to be, like, to say, you know, it's the game's fault or anything like that. I fully accept the fact that chances are I just probably suck at it. But it's just like, and for kicks and giggles, I looked up like a world record speedrunner on YouTube. Saw that it was like, I want to say it was like 2.5 hours or something ridiculous like that. And I just watched him play for about 10 minutes. And it's like, wow, yeah, I'll never be able to finish this game. It's just a smidge too much for me. But I do respect that it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool game.
Now, something that I also respect is a cool game, but I'm not very good at, Splunky. Splunky 1 and 2 are going to be hitting the Switch August 26th.
Nice.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't realize 2 was that close to being out.
Drop it, bits!
Hazy JT coming in with 300 biddies. Thank you so much, JT. How are you doing tonight?
Am I nuts? And 2 is already out elsewhere, and I just missed it.
Yeah, 2 has been on PlayStation, I believe.
Oh, that's why I didn't know. Yeah. Yeah. What's a PlayStation?
It's what poor people get when they can't afford an Xbox.
Oh.
Oh, I mean, you can't find either. You can't find any of them, so. Except the Series S. You could find the Series S.
The Series S is wildly underrated. I'm just going to say that.
I don't believe you, and I own one. So, Aki was excited about the one game that was announced. Boyfriend Dungeon Surprise launched this week on the Switch and also on Xbox Game Pass.
That was a surprise.
Yeah.
I need to play it.
I need to check this out immediately, just based on name alone.
Yeah, Boyfriend Dungeon.
There's Aki. Virtual Boyfriend Simulator? What the hell?
It's a rod.
Virtual Boyfriend Simulator.
It reminds me of, what was it, that Hatoful Boyfriend or something like that?
Oh, yeah, with the birds?
Yeah. Or there was one that it didn't come out on, like, consoles or anything. It was just, like, an obscure game in the middle of nowhere on PC called Data Fidget Spinner.
What?
I don't know how you don't know about Data Fidget Spinner. That hurts my heart, Joe.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure I've talked about this before. There were, like, two of them, and the developer said that they were going to make a third, and then they just disappeared into the abyss.
I don't know how to address that statement. Date a fidget spinner is a thing.
Yeah.
This Boyfriend Dungeon game sounds amazing, and I'm wishlisting this. Date your weapons, level up your love in this shack and slash dungeon crawling adventure.
Yeah.
Spend
what's
the cash
achievement completion lock?
Oh, dude, who gives a shit?
I do. That's why I asked you, fuck stick.
No, I mean, like, spend the cash you earn on romantic outings to forge precious moments with your lovers and work together to clear the rampant monster infestations, because after all, a couple that slays together stays together. I'm buying this game. Like, that's all there is to it.
Well, it's on Game Pass. You have Game Pass.
Well, yeah, no, I know that, but like, you know, if it ever, I'm gonna buy this eventually. Jesus,
he wants to support the devs, okay?
Yes, forgive me.
Just let them shut up and take his money.
Download it and play it. Do it. Also coming to Game Pass, there's a couple of games that are going to be coming to Game Pass over the next few months. No date, but Stardew Valley is going to be landing on Game Pass. Evil Genius 2 is going to launch on Game Pass. Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous, which is launching in March, that's going to be direct to Game Pass. Origami 2 coming out next month.
Origami 2 is just like, it's a stealth game that is being stealth dropped. It's every now and then Xbox Game Pass puts up a picture and it'll have Origami on there and nobody says a damn thing about it. And I'm like, clearly nobody played one and they do not realize the amazing game they're sleeping on. Origami's great, is what I'm trying to say. And I'm looking forward to 2, and I think more people should be looking forward to 2.
Aki's like, I want Origami too.
Okay, let her have it, because I'll be playing it on Game Pass anyway. She can do the work, and I get to have the fun, so. Enjoy, bitch. Next!
And then, one more game coming to Game Pass. I'm excited about this one. Paparazzi.
I'm excited for Paparazzi!
Oh, wait, I think I remember hearing about that game. Holy crap.
It's so heckin' adorable.
Heckin' adorable.
It's heckin' adorable. You can't say a worse word with it.
Yeah, no one knows poppers.
Yeah, with a game like this, what kind of monster are you? It's just, it's heckin' adorable, man. It's like Pokemon Snap, but there's doggos doing doggo things, and you take their pictures.
Doges and puppers.
Yeah, no, I remember hearing about it on Steam, but oh, there is going to be an Xbox One version. Nice. Uh-huh.
What the fantastic. Fuck do you think we're talking about?
I thought we were talking about Nintendo stuff.
We literally just said it's on Game Pass.
These are games launching on Game Pass.
You know, I tried to pay attention. I was keeping up for a while.
My head hurts. This episode sucks. Also launching on Game Pass later on this month, August 25th, the game has gone gold. It is ready to go. Psychonauts 2.
Yeah!
Woo! Excited for that one.
I'm excited for it now that I know that it can be played with accessibility shit. Because I was a little more like, that's a game that might take too much out of me, and I don't know if I'd be invested enough to like hurt my hands to play it, right? Because I didn't play the first one. And then they were like, yes, you can play it with accessibility options and still get the achievements. And I was like, never mind, you won me over. I'm here.
Well, second one looks good. So
yeah,
no one else wants to say anything. So whatever.
I just said, I'm looking forward to it.
No one's listening to you.
No. just make sure you let them know when it comes to Xbox, okay?
Somebody can go eat a dick.
Who?
Not on Game Pass yet, so you're gonna have to hold.
Hellblade's on Game Pass.
My dick's not cool enough to be named that.
Hellblade got a Series X and S optimization update. It has 3 different graphics modes, performance, resolution, and enriched. At least on the Series X, the numbers are performance is 120 hertz up to, or 120 frames per second up to 1080p. Okay. Resolution is 60 frames per second at 4K.
Okay.
And then enriched is 30 frames per second at 4K with ray tracing.
Yeah. I really want to see the game with ray tracing.
I know.
I really do. I might have to reinstall it just to check it out, because god damn, that game's gorgeous as it is.
So optimized for Series X with ray tracing. Gonna be good.
Yes.
It's just,
the sad part is it's just gonna make me sad that Hellblade 2 ain't out yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's still a ways off. Is there an official date on that one yet?
Not a thing, I don't think. As far as I know, they've been doing the dev diaries and stuff, but they haven't given anything like beyond what we've already seen. at E3. I would expect to see something from it at, what is it, XOXO or the Gamescom, whichever one's coming up next. I don't remember. I'm not good. After E3, I'm not good at keeping up with the cons.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. I don't even know which ones are still happening because the world's getting shut down again, kind of.
So there's another one that, the one that's in Mexico. That's the one coming up.
Delta Strain.
But yeah, I suspect if we're going to see anything soon, it would be there.
Yeah, we'll find out. Mm-hmm. Some Switch release dates. Darksiders 3 is going to be hitting the Switch on September 30th.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Lego Marvel Super Heroes is hitting the Switch October 5th.
Okay.
Keeping people in the know.
Isn't that game like 5 years old?
Yep, and it's hitting Switch.
All right.
You know what else is hitting Switch? Gang Beasts in September.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then October 8th.
I'm always happy for more people to go play more games.
I'm excited. This one, it definitely has me interested because I'll be able to play it on the go. Tetris Effect Connected is hitting the Switch October 8th.
Oh.
That's cool.
I wonder how they're going to get that performing on the Switch and how well it's going to perform and if there's going to be like any graphical downgrades, anything significant.
Yeah, I don't know. What's
happening?
What if the Switch version is just being streamed from an Xbox? That's how they get the graphics.
Don't think it works that way.
It might. You don't know. You think it don't, but you don't know that it don't.
Speaking of people who wish they knew stuff, Typhoon Studio, do you remember them?
No.
Typhoon Studio, they were the ones who developed Journey to the Savage Planet.
Mm.
They were bought by Google.
What?
And then they were shut down.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
They have now reformed. The majority of the staff from Typhoon Studios have reformed under the banner Raccoon Logic, and they have regained the Savage Planet IP. So they are going to get back to work on the series.
Oh, shit. That's great.
Good for them.
That's like, the company that made Crimson Skies, they did the same exact thing. Like, the company went out of business. They quickly reformed a new company and then sold the Crimson Skies IP to the new company for $1.
Hmm. That works.
Yeah.
And I had $1.
I'd buy that for $1.
Well, with all the good news, there has to be a little bit of bad news. They're being backed by Tencent.
Well, at this point, who isn't Tencent putting their dick on?
Yeah.
These nuts.
They probably have Tencent's dick sweat somewhere on them.
Okay, we're not talking about dick sweat.
We're
going to talk about sales figures. Resident Evil Village is up to 4.5 million units sold.
Nice.
Resident Evil Biohazard 7 is at 9.8 million, and Monster Hunter Rise is at 7.3 million.
That's great.
Yeah. Good numbers for Capcom. They are doing good. And then last bit of news I have is that Kotaku reports that a long-rumored GTA Trilogy remaster is supposedly going to be releasing this late October, early November for all platforms.
Just in time for Christmas.
Yeah, and that'll be a remake trilogy of Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and San Andreas.
Which also leads in with what people were figuring because they were DMCAing all those mods that were essentially total conversions.
Yeah.
Into Grand Theft Auto 5. So, well, there we go.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You missed one piece of news.
I miss a lot of news. That's why I say, hey, do you have anything you want to talk about?
You missed one thing. It's only kind of small, but I'm excited about it.
How excited?
Back for Blood is Gold.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. And
there's an open beta for that as well, isn't there?
There is coming
up. It should be open now,
today. Yeah.
Did they fix the zombies yelling the certain racial epithet?
Okay, so they don't yell the epithet.
Right.
It can be mistaken for it.
They said
I didn't hear about that. I played a lot of it.
So essentially, if two there's two separate zombie noises, and if they're played too closely together, it
one is like an kind of sound, and the other one is a more grr kind of sound.
Oh.
And yeah. When they run into each other, it sounded problematic. And so they just fixed it.
I
get annoyed when people are like, oh, did they fix them saying the slur? They didn't say a slur. And it's misrepresentative to say it like that. Because that's not what they were trying to do. It wasn't something nefarious. And it's not fair to like paint the game as like, oh, it's racist.
Yeah, it's not like there's white hooded zombies running around with burning crosses.
Well, I mean, that's probably make a better game to shoot them.
When you sensationalize it like that, and I don't like that.
Yeah, suck a dick, Jacob.
Don't sensationalize bullshit. That's not true.
Yeah.
Have a nice.
Well, I guess I've been told. Okay.
By the way, Twitter said I'm what's wrong with gaming journalism. I just want to point that one out.
You are what's wrong with gaming journalism. This whole show is exactly what is wrong with gaming journalism. And that's why we are not gaming journalism. We're a shitty podcast that nobody listens to for 8.5 years.
Technically.
Yay. Yeah.
This is a sad thing now. But also mostly.
Would you say
art,
you like, so you're like so much tonight, you're just trailing off.
I'm sorry. I was scratching my lip. Technically, I am gaming journalism now, right? Because, like, I write about games for Windows Central.
Oh, well, then, yeah, you are gaming journalism. Get the fuck out of here, you and your legitness.
Well, here's the thing. You just got to look at the silver lining. You know, you got to look at the glasses being half full by using the Jack Sparrow meme. You know, it's like, you guys are like the worst gaming podcast I've ever heard of. Ah, but you have heard of us.
You have heard of us. That's right. Again, there's no such thing as bad publicity as long as they spell your name right.
As long as they spell your name right.
No. that
excuse
that
me, I go get myself a picture.
You know, sometimes they got to give you some pie, mm-hmm. and then they spell your name right, and then it's just a good deal.
You want down glass sweet tea?
Yeah.
Jacob, what kind of news do you have?
I don't want to say.
I know. I might sensationalize it, so, you know.
Yeah, we have Mr. TMZ over here.
Yeah. Well, big things are happening with Cookie Clicker. You won't believe after this commercial.
Oh, my God.
It's getting a Steam release on September 1st. $5 gets you... essentially, it's just a version of it for Steam that has Steam achievements and cloud saving. So, if your cookies ever get deleted again, then you don't lose your game.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, I don't
know. Hang.
I don't know. Joe actually got me into it years ago. Joe, do you even still play it?
No, it's been years since I've played Cookie Clicker.
You haven't beaten Cookie Clicker by now, guys?
No.
Seriously?
Honestly,
They went too crazy with it. They just put too much weird shit in the game, and I kind of got scared off.
Yeah, once, because I felt bad about converting the grannies, and it's just like, I don't know, it's just, like, that game got weird after you do that, and it's just, I stopped playing.
Once you trigger the Gram Apocalypse, I kind of considered myself having won and done.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently there's a way you can turn them back and kind of revert it so things don't get weird.
But they don't. Yeah, but it's still weird, though, because it's like they still have the memories and like they still reference it. And it's,
Yeah. When Cookie Clicker starts getting into Lovecraftian horror, I think you've gone a little too far and jumped the shark a little too hard.
Yeah, a smidge. Plus, there's Clicker Heroes.
Yeah.
I fire that up on Xbox every now and then.
Oh, yeah.
Check in on my clicks.
I haven't touched that for like months. Jeez.
Go on back and see how many clicks you got while waiting.
Woo. So after more than a decade, development of the Kerbal Space Program game has come to an end. They're now going to focus on the sequel to it.
Yeah.
However, there is still a next-gen update for PS5 and Xbox Series X/S due this autumn. But pretty much after the 1.12 update, it's the last one. So,
quitters. gave up after 10 years.
The Intellivision Amico has been delayed again, is now going to launch this fall by Christmas, hopefully.
When was it supposed to come out?
October 2020. And then essentially they tried really, they were working on this thing and then the pandemic happened and it's just made everything hell. And yeah. However, according to them, they're good to go. It's just, they're now just going to work on the OS for it. And that's, you know, and it's supposedly going to make its Christmas launch, but we'll see. And then the last bit of news I have is Sebastian Maniscalco. I'm not entirely too sure how to pronounce his last name. I've heard him before. He's a comedian.
Yeah.
I'd heard him a couple of times on the Elvis Duran show when I used to commute to work. Funny dude. Anyway, so he's going to be playing Foreman Spike in the upcoming Super Mario Brothers movie by Illumination, which pretty much I think everyone forgot was coming out.
Yeah, so. I didn't know at all.
It's coming out next year, supposedly. Oh, which also reminds me, other video game casting news. Idris Elba is going to be Knuckles in Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually tempted to mention that. It's like, it's not really video game, but it's kind of related.
It's okay.
Yeah,
Jacob brings up movie news all the fucking time because he just has to.
It's related to
I would have.
Yeah, and it's related to video games. I mean, I could start talking about Suicide Squad. I don't know.
Well,
why is this video game podcast constantly talking about shitty Sonic movies?
Hey, whoa. All right. I've endured that Sonic movie probably about 30 odd times because of my kids, probably more. In terms of video game movies, it's really not that bad.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because from what I heard, like, despite all the bluster about how the original Sonic design looked like pure nightmare fuel, after they fixed it, the movie in and of itself really wasn't that bad at all. I mean, yeah. It's nothing, you know, that's going to win any awards, but it wasn't like as shitty as a lot of video game adaptations have been throughout, you know, the history of cinema.
Yeah. Cole, did you see it?
Yeah. I don't remember much of it other than thinking this is basically Hop, but with Sonic.
This is what?
Hop, the movie. Hop.
Oh, Hop. Oh.
It was even the same dude. The same actor.
James Marsden.
I never saw Hop, so I can't.
It's okay. James Marsden teams up with the Easter Bunny, voiced by Russell Brand.
That one.
That's really all you need to know.
So it's Sonic.
Basically.
But with a bunny.
Basically.
Cool. Ian, do you have any news?
No, not really. I mean, pretty much the Idris Elba as Knuckles thing was the only thing I really had on hand.
Sorry for stealing your news.
No, that's cool, man. That's cool. I'm trying to think.
Just like Jake. No, like, steal somebody's thunder.
Honestly, really haven't heard a whole lot going on, at least in my circle of information.
Hold it. What am I being accused of by Cole this time?
Everything.
None. Don't surprise me. Suspicious.
Very. Should we get to reviews?
Yes.
Sure.
Hot. I'm trying to be careful, but I'm miserable.
And it's not because of me? Oh,
I mean, you're not helping.
I've never been known to help.
Okay. All right. We're getting reviews. We got shit to take care of. First thing that we're going to talk about tonight is the Turtle Beach Recon Wired Game Controller, created by Turtle Beach. It released July 25th for Xbox and Windows 10 for $59.95. The Turtle Beach Recon Controller for Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and Windows 10 is the first controller to pair game-changing audio innovations with game-winning controls. Plug in a 3.5mm headset and take advantage of proven Turtle Beach audio features like superhuman hearing, mic monitoring, signature audio presets, and more. Win more with a Pro Aim Focus Mode, which tunes thumbstick sensitivity for enhanced long-range accuracy, and save up to 4 selectable profiles on each of the 2 rear quick action buttons. Play for hours in comfort thanks to ergonomic cooling grips, and feel every vital gaming detail with next-gen vibration feedback in the handles and triggers. Cole, what am I missing? I think I covered everything in the write-up.
Yeah, you pretty much covered it all. I don't know what I'm doing here.
You're supposed to tell us if it's good.
Okay. For the most part, yes. I do have a little bit of feedback. The audio features that are built into the controller are really nice. Because sometimes you are playing with headphones that maybe good or maybe comfortable, but don't have a whole lot of settings or options or all the bells and whistles. I have several pairs of headphones in this house, everything from Rig to Lucid Sounds to Turtle Beaches, and I tried all of them with this controller. Even when I was using, I'm not even going to lie, my favorite set of headphones in this house, despite all the expensive ones I have, are my $40 Rigs. Because they're just incredibly comfortable for me. A lot of the others are kind of bulky, and they have great sound, but they're heavy on my ears because headphones are made for dudes. You know, gaming headphones are just made for dudes. And so I like my Rigs because they're a little smaller than most other headphones, and they're not as heavy. But they don't have a lot of the fancy options. That they have a inline controller where I can turn them on and off and audio up and down. And that's it. There's no fancy fine tuning going on with these headphones because they were $40, right? But when I plug them into the Turtle Beach controller, suddenly I can balance out voice chat with game chat, with game audio. I can enhance certain sounds and balance the audio the way I want. It's a really nice touch to have all of that right there at my fingertips, and I no longer have to take my hand off the controller if I want to mute or if I need to turn chat up or down. All those are right there on the controller. Now, as far as feedback goes with that, the way that they have positioned those settings at the top of the controller is maybe my gripe with it all. It looks cool. Don't get me wrong, right? But the having all of the buttons for the precision aim and the voice chat and everything, they take the place of where the home button is on a normal Xbox controller, and then the home button is moved down slightly. And it took me an insane amount of time to get used to reaching over to the home button and not reaching so far up. In addition to that, you have to take your hand off of either the thumbstick or the face buttons if you're going to mess with any of those. I would like, though, if they had been down at the bottom instead. If maybe they had bumped out a little bit on the bottom of the controller and put all those buttons down there so that it would have just been a little quicker to like slide your thumb down and hit the volume rather than having to push up for it. Most people aren't going to give a fuck about that. Okay? I know it, that most people are going to be like, this is fine and I don't care. But I do have rheumatoid disease, and I do have to take into consideration that, yeah, that extra push is sometimes a bitch. That leads me to my other feedback point. All of the triggers, the bumper buttons, and the paddles on the back, which are a super nice touch, by the way. They're very responsive, and I have no complaints about their placement or that there's only two. They work well. But all of those triggers and bumpers have a texture on them that is really bumpy and rigid. Again, my hands are fucked, and so like things bother me a little more than normal. Sometimes touching those triggers, I would put the controller aside and use another one because those bumps were so much textured feedback into my fingertips that it would just hurt.
Wow.
I can see where it would get rubbed down over time. I've only had the controller, what, a week?
Yeah, something like that.
Somewhere in there. Clearly it's still very, you know, fresh off the line. And I can see where with a lot of play that would get rubbed down and not be an issue. But as they come out of the box, man, those are some prickly little fuckers. And they kind of hurt. I would like to have seen those smoothed down some more from the start. And also, like I said, personally, I would have rather seen the buttons at the bottom, but where they're at, it works and it's fine and it looks good. It's an aesthetically pleasing controller. It's comfortable to hold. It's not heavy. I would say it doesn't even weigh as much as my Elite Series 2. It's kind of like a happy medium between a standard Xbox controller and an Elite, in as far as weight goes. I
know the one thing you have to contend with on this one is that it is a wired controller.
It is. It is wired. It is USB-C wired. But so if something happens, the cable's insanely long. I sit close to my Xbox anyway, so I kind of didn't care. But there were a couple times when I was achievement hunting where I was like, oh, I'm going to go check the computer. And then, like, I go to get up to come over to the computer, and I'd be like, ah, fuck. I got to take my headphones off, set my controller down, go to the computer, look at what I wanted, come back, and then do it.
out of curiosity, do you know how long that cord is?
10 foot.
Or, like, could you?
Yeah.
It's 10 foot? Okay. Just curious.
Yeah, it's a lengthy one. The other thing with the cord, though, is that it doesn't have any kind of breakaway. So if you pull it, it's coming straight out of the Xbox or out of the controller or both. Thankfully, I didn't do it. Well, no. I have some that have breakaways like partway through. So if
like old Xbox ones.
Yeah, they break away. And so they don't damage the tip on the controller or in your Xbox. That said, the actual USB-C port on this one is recessed. And it's actually in there a pretty good little bit. So if you do drop it or something, it's not as likely to bend at that point as some other controllers, my Elite. which is a nice touch because I do drop these motherfuckers a lot. But beyond that, like I said, the only real thing is just that, you know, the only thing that I think could really be changed is just the texture of those triggers is too much. Otherwise, it's great.
What are the quick action buttons on the back? What kind of fun stuff could you do with those?
They're just addressable paddles, like you have on an Elite.
Okay, but is there like an app that you can use for it? Or is there, like, where do you set them up?
You know what? I didn't set them up. Because I'm going to be really honest. I use my Elite paddles. But when I'm using a regular controller, I always forget that some of them have the paddles on the back. And I just so used to not using it if it's not my Elite that I don't set it up.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's just the playstyle thing. And they're nice that, like, they felt good. And I kept bumping into them and going, oh, yeah, I need to set those. And then, like, it would just be like, oh, I moved my hand and I hit it. And then I'd forget about it again. You have, like, muscle memory for things. And my muscle memory is like, this is your Elite, use your paddles. This is not your Elite, don't use paddle.
Yeah, I've learned to hold controllers differently now using my Elite controller, because I used to never use the paddles until the Elite 2, where you could do shortcut actions with the paddles, like taking screenshots and loading apps and stuff like that. So now I use the paddles, and I have to hold controllers differently so my fat friggin' fingers aren't all over the paddles hitting buttons while I'm playing. Because, yeah, I've had a few accidental screenshots and video clips from hitting two of the buttons at the same time.
I only within, like, the last 2 months, maybe, even started using the screenshot button just because I wasn't used to it being there. Because on an Elite series, on Elite and in the Elite series too, there isn't a screenshot button. It's to change your profile. And so, like, when I was using the Series S controller, or even the Turtle Beach one, I was like, oh, yeah, I can use that and take a screenshot. I don't have to hit the guide button anymore. So I'm still, like, adjusting just to having a share button.
So, Cole, if you don't mind me butting in, I got a question.
I do mind. What's your question?
going in about the cord. So you said it's not a breakaway one, but you had mentioned that it can disconnect from the controller.
It's a USB-C into the controller.
Okay, so it's not like a proprietary...
No.
Okay. I was just curious, because, I mean, I've had wired controllers before where, like, it actually, like...
Where it's fully integrated into
the... I will tell you how not proprietary it is. My husband stole it and used it to charge his phone one day.
Nice.
And I was like, why is my Turtle Beach controller just sitting on the couch unplugged? And I was very confused. And then I was like, you motherfucker, you stole my cord.
I find that real curious that it's just like, I mean, they've made it like that. But like, there's no like wireless adapter for it. Like, I don't know. I just find that real weird.
It's probably a licensing issue with getting the wireless from Microsoft would be an extra charge, and it would cost so much more. So that's why they have cheaper wired options.
Can the Series X do Bluetooth controller?
No.
No. Okay.
No, it just does Microsoft's proprietary wireless.
Got it. I know you can use a Xbox controller with Bluetooth on a PC.
Yeah, because the controllers have Bluetooth.
Yeah.
But the console doesn't.
Like, it was an option on the console as well. That would be nice if they did add that in. But here we are.
Yeah. Well, $60 on this controller. What do you think of it?
I do think it's worth it. Especially like if you're using a headset that doesn't have a lot of inline options on its own, and you want a little more control over your audio while you're playing, but you want it there at your fingertips, this is a good way to do it. Yeah, I definitely give it a buy it.
Cool. And shout out to Turtle Beach for sending that your way. And well, you'll have to take a glamour shot to use for the episode image.
Ugh. Hate taking glamour shots. I'll do that, though.
Tough shit. You gotta do one. First game to talk about tonight is called City of Gangs, developed by SomaSim, published by Casito Games, released August 9th on Steam for $29.99. Start a crime syndicate from nothing and grow it into a well-oiled money machine. Build speakeasies and illegal distilleries, manage production chains and resource distribution, smuggle goods from out of town and bribe the police to look the other way. Ian, tell us about your time with City of Gangs.
All right. Well, to start off, City of Games is a tycoon management game about logistics and stuff like that. Just throwing that out right off the bat, because it seems that a lot of negative reviews are under the impression that they thought this game was something completely different.
What are people thinking it's supposed to be?
I guess it's more of like a, I want to say like Payday. I mean, I don't mean to imply that it's like a first person shooter, but like they're expecting more hands-on criminal element type stuff. Because I know there's one older game that keeps getting popped up. Give me a second. I could probably find this pretty easily.
Gangsters Organized Crime?
Yeah, I want to say that might be it. People are expecting that and didn't get it, and some of them are blaming mismarketing, while basically replies are like, dude, read the fucking game description, or, you know, it's your own fault. But anyways, it is a tycoon management game where basically like the crux of building your empire is, you know, creating businesses, expanding your territory, expanding your social network, as it were. And you can do this like by being an asshole, or you can do it by just being nice, because there's opportunities either way. You can also extort people for cash, and in some instances you kind of have to do it. But, you know, depending upon the personality types of the NPCs you're dealing with, some, you know, might be like, hey, cool, man, whatever I can do to help out. And others be like, oh, wow, you're kind of a dick. But you can make things kind of uncomfortable, so I guess I'll have to do it. So there's kind of like a dynamic, you know, social interaction. But it is, if you're into, like, very hands-on logistics management, it is a very fun game. Some people might get bored. It does kind of cater to a certain taste. But there's a lot of interesting and nuanced systems in place, such as, like, when you're, like, for example, let's just say you have, you know, a bootlegging operation going on and you're producing, you know, homemade beer. What you have to be mindful of is the more deals you do at certain location, the more the heat will rise and the more likely it is the police will drop down on those locations, see what's going on. And if police is camped out on a specific corner, then no one at that corner is going to want to do business because, well, you know, the police are right outside and, you know, I don't want to go to fucking jail. And just to explain some of the terminology, a quarter is basically like, you know, it's like, it's sort of like a city block. It's like a unit of movement. So when you have your character in the car and he's zipping around and he has like a movement of 8, that's how many corners he can move across the map. And as one thing I will definitely give a thumbs up to is that the maps are huge.
Yeah, and there's actually some of the screenshots on the Steam page, and they look like really big maps, like some legit big cities that you're going to be working with here.
Yeah, is let's see. On my farthest game, I have like I don't even really have like a whole lot of corners, as it were, because I kind of built up a central business and I kind of have my little niche carved out, and I'm kind of happy with where I'm sitting at. So I'm just kind of focusing on the business aspect as opposed to territorial expansion. And even just what I've visually revealed, I've probably gotten like, say, one, two, three. If I was going to put this into like a 3x3 grid, I've probably gotten like maybe 2/9 of the entire map revealed. And that's just the Chicago map. They also have Detroit. Yeah, they also have Detroit, and they also have Philadelphia. And I did take a glance at those maps just to see what they were like. And they're pretty cool. I mean, I think the Philadelphia map is a little bit smaller, but it looks like it has a more condensed city structure. You know, like in Chicago, there's like giant rivers that pass through. There's kind of like some park areas that, you know, just kind of take up a little bit of real estate here and there. But yeah, so I mean, and in accordance with certain stats that I've found, I think there's like 9 other outfits, syndicates, organizations that are also building and doing stuff. So it doesn't take too long to run into them, but they're not always openly hostile. You can try to, depending upon their personality type, and there are like personality characteristics of, you know, the characters in the game. So for example, you know, when someone says, hey, I know someone that's looking for a job, it's like, okay, well, let me take a look at them. And you can look at the personality types and you can like, well, this guy might be good as a thug. This guy might be good as a manager, because you can install managers in your operations to increase their efficiency, you know, get more product or get more money on the sell. And, you know, some outfits might want to work with you. You know, sometimes you'll get like these little, they're called corner hooligans, where basically they just own like a block. And depending on their personality type, they might hook, you know, offer you with a really convenient hookup. You know, 'cause sometimes maybe a certain resource for a certain operation is kind of hard to come by or just grossly inconvenient to constantly buy. And it's got to be like, hey, dude, you know, throw me a couple $100 and, you know, I can give you a pretty solid hookup that'll last you for a couple months. Yeah. You know? And it's just about, you know, it's about networking. There's a lot of interesting nuances to the game that make things really interesting. And admittedly, it might be a little overwhelming depending on how hardcore you like your management sim.
I was just about to ask if this is something that's like super complex or if it's casual friendly.
Well, there is a tutorial and it does a really good job of explaining the basics at a very comfortable pace, because this is, you know, because at first, you know, once I kind of realized that this is like, you know, like, okay, this is a pretty in-depth management sim, I was kind of worried I was going to be overwhelmed. But it's one of those things where like, if I started streaming my current game right here and now, you guys would take one look at it and be like, oh, Jesus Christ, like, this is way too much. But
it eases,
if I started a fresh game, yeah, if I started a fresh game and you guys watched me play and slowly build, you know, you'd kind of be like, oh, okay, so you just kind of start out simple with this, and then you kind of expand into this, and then it kind of expands into that, and then you kind of get this to supplement that, and it just kind of slowly grows, and then you kind of, after a couple of hours of playing, you look at it and you're like, wow, I really kind of blew this shit up, and I've got a pretty solid lockdown on it. So, you know, in a way, it does look really daunting, but once you, like I said, it has a really nice tutorial, and there are little details that the tutorial doesn't get to explain, but this is one of the games where a lot of stuff that you're just going to have to file out or find out by, you know, trial by fire.
No.
Well, and not necessarily in a bad way, but I think the only negative I have about this game is that it could do with some quality of life changes. Like, there are certain things that feel a little, I don't want to say inefficient, but just kind of nitpicky things, like, because there are some notifications that I feel should be very hammer you on the head. Like, for example, if you're expanding your territory, you have to set up a front. And in order to fund that front, you have to make sure that they have the appropriate amount of money to, you know, acquire the area around where they're located. And if they are suddenly going into debt and they don't have the money to continue doing it, not only do you lose that front, but you will also lose any of the territory they acquired on your behalf. And on top of that, they kind of hold a grudge because you left them hanging and they won't want a front for you again. So, you know, it's kind of important that you know if, you know, those guys are in dire straits or not. And the game doesn't directly tell you. You basically have to look for a tiny little icon on their little on their business icon. Because that actually happened to me, because I wasn't paying attention, and I didn't realize someone needed some cash, and all of a sudden it's like, I don't feel like fretting for you anymore. It's like, bitch, you're holding on to like the most amount of fronts in my territory. I'm going to kind of need those. But unfortunately, she's kind of pissed off at me, so she doesn't want to do it. And it's like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to reload. But yeah, if you're into tycoon management and you kind of like that level of managing, it's, like I said, it might look overwhelming, but it does a pretty good job of teaching you how to do things. And you can build up pretty, you know, you can build up as much residual as you want. You know, it just depends on how aggressive you are. The game lasts for, air quotes, 10 years. You know, basically as long as Prohibition. Each turn lasts 1 week. So it's sort of like civilization level. I mean, you can go as long or as short as you want. There are, in order to win, there are some like predefined goals you want to strive towards. You don't need to get all of them, but you can either kind of get the okay. You know, you did an okay job by getting like 3 out of like 12 to 14. Or if you want to be hardcore awesome, you can go for 6. So there is an end game, and yeah,
well,
it's pretty fun.
Overall, $29.99 on City of Gangs. What are your thoughts?
I would give it a recommend if this sort of game caters to, you know, is in your wheelhouse. If you're not really into management type games, especially one that requires a good deal of micromanaging, I would kind of hold off.
Makes sense. Sounds good. All right. Are you going to stick around and read a couple emails, or were you going to jump out?
No, I can stick around for some emails.
Cool beans. Next game to talk about, we're going to get Jacob out of here. He's got a couple games to talk about. Next up is Checkers for Kids, developed by Marionette Games, published by Prison Games, releasing August 20th on Xbox One for $8.99 and Switch for $9.99. Checkers for Kids is a traditional and inspiring board game which attracts the attention of younger audience. There are lots of unique toys you can choose to play with and customize even further with your favorite add-ons. Jacob, tell us about Checkers for Kids.
So, pretty much, it is a very simple game, like, right off the bat. You know, there's not a lot of bells and whistles to it. It's meant to be played on your couch. Obviously, you know, either one of your kids against another kid, or you versus your kid, in which case you need to tell them, get good, scrub.
Yeah. Did you just beat your kids relentlessly at this game?
Maybe.
Wow.
Anyway, no, not too much.
Carnage, or should we say Checkers for Kids and Achievement Hunters?
Not too that's, much.
That's also an apt description. So, so the thing is that the game, like the other games that I'm going to be reviewing tonight, this doesn't really have much of a tutorial. In fact, this actually had the most of a tutorial than the other two games. And it was literally 3 lines of trying to explain the rules of Checkers, which it does okay. I had to explain some more with my kid, but, you know, it generally covers the bases. I mean, like, there's really not much to do Checkers. So
yeah.
I guess they decided to finally throw in a tutorial. So with it, I mean, the gameplay is pretty simple. You select, you select your checker that you want to move across the board. It tells you like what you can, what you're able to do. One of the things I thought was kind of nice is that if there's still moves for you to make, like if you're able to like double jump over your opponent, it actually won't end your turn until you've done it. Which I thought was a nice addition to it. Because hopefully it gets, you know, more kids to realize, oh, you know, there's like, you know, thinking beyond just a single jump. Other than that, there's really not much to the game. There is a fish tank that you can look at and immediately get an achievement for looking at. you can decide what toys you want to represent your player side. And there's like 20 odd toys that you could choose from, like going from like little Gundam looking robots to teddy bears, to, you know, frogs, that kind of stuff. And then there's, oh crud, there was one other feature, and I think it was just choosing what colors the game board area is. I think that's what it was. Like, there's really not much to the game.
Yeah, it's very straightforward, very basic. Right. It could do with some more.
I'm glad that there's not. As much as like I usually harp on, like, oh, there needs to be an online portion for this, I'm okay with this not having any kind of online.
Yeah, I really don't think it would be well populated if they did spend the resources to make an online version of this game.
Well, even then, the whole thing is that this is meant for kids.
Yeah,
you know, it's meant as like a safe place for a kid to learn checkers, ideally with a parent or grandparent playing alongside them, who is going to talk trash the whole entire time. but you know, out of the three games, this is probably the most accessible. I didn't get 1,000 out of 1,000 on it. The achievement list had not launched yet, so I'm not exactly sure what, like, how to trigger everything. But I got a decent amount for it. So achievement hunters will be very interested in this game.
Well, overall, it's $9 on Xbox, $10 on the Switch. What do you think about it?
That's a tad steep. In my opinion, I would have been fine with $5 for this. Unless you got a kid that you really want to teach checkers to, or you're really just that desperate for 1,000 points.
I wouldn't put it past some achievement hunters.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either. I mean, I'm not okay with $10. If it was $5, that's totally, you know, that would be definitely worthwhile for it. But $10, I really can't recommend it at $10. It would have to be like special circumstances where, as I said, like, you know, this is grandpa's chance to play checkers with his kid or something like that.
Well, it's $9 on Xbox. So.
Well, at the same time, though, I feel like a physical, you know, board of checkers also costs $9. So it's like.
It doesn't. It costs like $5.
Yeah, but then you have to go to the store.
Then you can order that shit on Amazon.
Yeah, or you just do like, you know, curbside pickup with Target. We're terrible at reviewing games.
Now I'm tempted to look. Checkers game for kids. Well.
Cole, did you get some time with checkers?
I did.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was fine. I thought it was really pared down and simple, but also it's for kids. It's in the title. So it kind of, you know, gave you what it promised, right? So I couldn't really say anything about it. I was impressed that you could, like, change up the checkers board and stuff. I would have liked to have seen more set options, though. Because you just had the My Room, unless I was too stupid to figure. Like, you could change the colors of it, but you couldn't. There wasn't. It would have been nice to have, like, a checkers board on a tabletop, or a checkers board on the kitchen table, or, you know, outside at a picnic type of setting or something. I would have liked
board
to see
in the bowels of hell.
Well, I already feel like I'm in the bowels of hell with this heat, so I don't know if I need all that.
Another thing I would like to touch on with it, I thought the AI was very, very simplistic. So, I mean, like, it's good as, like, a beginner level for kids, but, like, once they get the hang of checkers, they're going to annihilate the AI every single time. I played through it. I played one-on-one by myself a couple of times, and I never lost more than one piece to the AI. So,
ooh, fancy Mr. Checkers over here.
It's really not that hard to beat the AI.
Well, again, the game is checkers for kids.
Joe, I will not apologize for being a winner.
Next game to talk about is called Perfect Traffic Simulator, developed and published by Prison Games, released September 3rd last year for $9.99. Imagine the world without drivers. It can't end well unless you'll control them before they start their journey. Take control of each car on the streets and strategize your moves so cars driving on full speed smoothly pass by each other without waiting any second in traffic. Each scenario will require a different approach, so please be careful. With great power can come great responsibility. Jacob, tell us about your time with Perfect Traffic Simulator.
So, you know how I said I will not apologize for being a winner? This is not one of those times.
Because you are not a winner?
I'm not a winner. No, yeah. not with this one. So,
we didn't see that coming. Oh my god, plot twist.
Jacob's bad at a game, what?
Oh, damn it, did this drop?
No, you're still here.
He's just ignoring it.
No, I got it. It's giving me like a red thing, which sometimes means that like the call's not. Anyway, all right, so hopefully you can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear
Skype.
You.
Skype.
Okay, cool. Hooray, Skype. So, as I said, you know, these three games that I was given, they don't have much in the way of tutorials. Perfect Traffic Simulator actually has literally no tutorial whatsoever. And so you're just kind of tossed in there, and you have to figure out the mechanics yourself. And since the game didn't explain it, pretty much what you try doing is that there's usually like two or three different traffic routes all going at the same time. And you have to somehow synchronize it so nobody crashes into each other, and that's it. Which, I mean, it sounds really simple, but again, there's no explanation. And you're just given this, like, path of road where you're able to space out the cars between multiple lanes. And, of course, you have to switch the cameras every single time between each lane. Like, there's no, like, massive overview, which is a little disorienting in itself as you're trying to swap between the different cameras. And it's just, you eventually just have to, all right, well, here it goes. You know, I set up the cars as I hopefully they'll work, and you just hit A and you watch and hope that everybody makes it through. And there's a grading system that is involved with how much time it takes, how many cars crash into each other, because you're only allowed 5 car crashes per level. And then like a combo, which the game doesn't explain how the combo system really works. And I tried figuring out how to make it work. And then I finally got one intersection to go through without any crashes whatsoever. And I was only awarded one combo for it. And I was just like, I don't get this.
I want to say that the game has a lot of promise. It's something that I think could do with a lot more explanation in the form of some form of tutorial or some kind of, any kind of how to play something. Because once it's in action and once you get the cars moving, if it's the first time around and they're not set up properly, you're just going to watch cars wreck. And that's fun. That's just fun to me.
I thought it was okay like the first couple of times, but you know,
I would like to point out that if you pause the game and then go to the controls to where it shows you the map of the controller, on the right hand of that there is a guide that tells you the rules of how to play.
Ooh, suck a dick, Jacob.
I didn't see it, so.
Cole, tell us about your time with Perfect Traffic Simulator.
Quick question. Is it out for Xbox yet?
Yeah.
No, it's out for ColecoVision, fucker.
I got a perfect.
I got a perfect. I'm cold. That's what I sound like.
Because, you know, unlike other reviewers here tonight, I'm actually good at the games I play. it's one of those, like, it's kind of a puzzle game in a roundabout way. You wouldn't look at the description of it and be like, this is a puzzler. But the whole point is just to line up the cars in a way that they're not going to collide into each other. Although, there's an achievement for just letting that shit happen. And I've been known to sit and just giggle.
I told you. It's just watching chaos unfold is fun because physics is fun and it's got decent physics. I think the cars wreck and fly around really well. I wish they crumpled more.
Yeah, I wish there was a little like more
actual car damage
happening there. But, you know, some spilled gasoline, some smoke, that'd be funny.
No, but
we're asking for too much.
The point of the game isn't carnage. The point of the game is because
I don't know if you're going to make an achievement for that. For I think it's like 500 wrecks. So like at that point, carnage, they should give me a reason for the carnage.
Name it after carnage.
Yeah.
Carnage. Ha. $10 on this one. What do the two of you think?
I'm going to roll with a try it on it. I don't think it's going to be for everybody, but if you like to watch a little bit of mayhem and try to puzzle out proper traffic patterns, then you're probably going to enjoy it. It's one of those that, like, it's fun for a little while, but you don't want to sit and binge it for 8 hours.
No.
Yeah, no, like, I'm a hesitant try it. Again, I'm not thrilled with the $10 price tag on it. Some reason I thought it was like $5.99 or something.
No, the next one's $5.99.
Ah, crap. Okay, that makes sense. I don't, like, there's an achievement in there. I think it's like play the game for 12 hours straight. And I'm just, or not straight, but like, you know, play the game for 12 hours total. And I just saw that and I was just like, oh, bless your heart for thinking that.
I'm going to idle that shit. I'm just going to leave it on overnight.
You can't.
Can you not?
No. That's actually an interesting question. Like, if you leave it, no, because I think it only counts when the game is active, like actively, like you're at, like
the cars are moving.
Yeah, I think it only counts that because like somehow
I have to check through achievements.
I
think you're lying at me.
Either that or else it's only while you're in the like the level itself. So yeah, that's actually a good point. Now, but I really think it's only when things are in motion that it counts for anything. Cause it felt like it told me I had only logged in like 5 minutes on the game. And I was just like, bitch, I've been here for over half an hour. Like don't tell me I've only been here for five. Cause I know how to keep time on a digital watch.
Anyway, third Prison Games game to talk about is called Royal Tower Defense, developed and published by Prison Games. Released January 28th on Xbox One for $5.99. Land of Orcs have expanded in the last few decades and defined new borders which are dangerously close to us. They depleted resources on their lands, and it's only a matter of time before they try to put their hands on our kingdom. Diplomats were already sent to peacefully ask orcs to back off, but they never returned. The sign was clear. There's no place for negotiations. Jacob, what's going on in Royal Tower Defense?
Before I start talking about this, Cole, did you play this as well?
No.
Okay. All right. Well,
so I can't sit here and tell you you're a fucking slacker for this.
Right. Because I was just like, I'm going to start talking about this for like 5 minutes, and Cole's going to be like, no, bitch, there was a tutorial. All you had to do was just do the Konami code.
Are you relieved?
Go to the settings and read.
Are you relieved that I can't tell you you're a fucking slacker this time?
Well, I mean, you just
don't eat your pie.
Anyway, Royal Tower Defense.
So, once again, there's no easy to discern tutorial. Cole's now got me wondering if there actually is a tutorial in there, like just hidden, like under settings. I don't think that there was. I'm like 99.9% sure that there isn't, but the game doesn't take time to explain itself. There's no tutorial level. There's nothing at the beginning to explain how exactly the game's played. You just plop down your tower. I mean, it's a very basic tower defense game. And honestly, if you had told me that this was like a remake of like a Newgrounds game from like, you know, late 2009, 2010-ish, or even like a mobile game, I'd be like, okay, yeah. Like, I mean, because that's about where the graphics are at. Like, there's not a lot of polish to it. But, like, so the game just kind of throws you in there. You build your towers. The orcs come invading. You know, your towers just start shooting arrows. And as you kill off more orcs, you get more money. And you use the money to upgrade your towers and stuff like that. And you just keep doing this until all the orcs are dead or your tower defense falls. So that being said, there's not a lot to it. The game's difficulty does ramp up pretty quickly, and the thing is that you're supposed to be on top of upgrading everything, but of course the game doesn't take time to tell you that, and so, you know, eventually you're going to run into a level where you're just like, well, why the hell, like, you know, why are my defenses absolute shit? Well, you didn't upgrade. Or like, you know, oh, well, here's a new enemy and this kind of tower is ineffective against it, so you now need to build a magic tower, or you need to build, like, a, I think they called it a castle, like soldiers come out from it and stuff.
I have a question regarding the lack of tutorial. The store page says, what's new in this version? Tutorial added.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that.
If it is, I don't know where it's at, because I know I looked through the settings, and I know, like, when you start up the game, there is no tutorial.
I mean, as dumb as this sounds, maybe he's playing an older version?
It should have updated when I downloaded it. Yeah,
there is no old versions on Xbox if you're online.
Okay. Yeah, there was no tutorial when I started, like, unless they're counting the beginning when it gives you, like, the, like, oh, well, we sent away our, you know, we sent our dignitaries, but they all, none of them ever came back, so it's clear the orcs, you know, want our hide. Princess, what do we do? Blah, 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 blah. Like,
it is possible that they might define tutorial as, hey, this is a tower defense game. You gotta place towers.
Like,
have fun.
That honestly wouldn't surprise me if that's what constitutes it as now, but there was no... Like, there's nothing obvious to me that said tutorial with it, so...
Well, as it stands, $6, what do you think?
To be honest, I'm actually for this game. It, like, if you can ignore the fact that it doesn't, like, explain itself, I thought it provided a good challenge. It's a good pick-up-and-play game, and, I mean, honestly, as far as, tower defense, I thought it was pretty solid. Like, graphics they're dated, you know, like, you would wish better for an Xbox One release, but honestly, like, if you could, as I said, if you just ignore, like, those small things and the lack, or what I believe is a lack of a tutorial, you know, $5.99, yeah, I'm down.
Cool. All right, so that is it for you. That is our trilogy of prison games.
Yeah.
Carnage just loaded the game. Check this. Mission 1, do not let enemies enter your tower. I guess that's the tutorial.
You have now completed the tutorial.
That's not a tutorial.
Well, it technically tells you what you need to do in order to play complete the
game. Yeah, but isn't that mission objectives?
It's close enough, Jacob.
Damn it, Jacob, isn't anything good
time for you to just get the fuck on out of here while you still can.
Yeah, that's fair.
Do you have any final words before we move on?
You know, funnily enough, like, when we started this program, I did, but I don't remember what they are. So, have a good night, everyone, and that even includes you too, Cole.
I couldn't hit the button to unmute. Goodbye!
Well, why are you muting during a show?
Because I didn't want my fan droning in the background the whole time.
More like I didn't want to hear Cole droning in the background the whole time.
You know what? You know what? Learn to find the tutorials in the settings tabs.
You know where you can stick your pod, don't you?
In my face.
Well, I don't know. Apparently I need a tutorial to know where to stick the pod.
Okay, so for all of you future game developers out there, it would be really cool if you made a tutorial for Jacob to explain how to access the tutorial for the game. Yo, dog, we heard you like tutorials, so here's a tutorial for the tutorial.
Top 10 tutorials. You'll never believe what's number 4.
Number 7.
All right, we got to move on. Next game to talk about is called Lawn Mowing Simulator, developed by Skyhook Games, published by Curve Digital, released August 10th on Xbox Series X and S and PC for $29.99. Experience the beauty and detail of mowing the great British countryside in Lawn Mowing Simulator, the only simulator that allows you to ride an authentic and expansive roster of real-world licensed lawn mowers from prestigious manufacturers as you manage your mowing business. No Xbox One on this one. This is just Series X and S. What's,
you gotta have that sweet, sweet ray tracing on the chrome of the lawnmowers. Honestly, I don't know why it couldn't have been put on the one. It looks really lovely. Don't get me wrong. But there isn't anything that, like, stands out about it that makes me go, oh, this was only capable on the series. But for what we've got, where it's at, it looks great. This falls into what I like to call blue-collar simulators. my husband loves this shit. he's been waiting for Lawnmower Simulator. I think I'm a little tougher of a sell. I like fishing simulators, but once you get me into like power equipment and shit, I'm like, I'm not as thrilled, right?
Fucking
With the occasional exception for a tractor.
Oh no, we're gonna hear Purnell a whole bunch because Hazy JT just gifted 5 subs to 5 different folks. Let's see, Trash Random got one, Lucas got one, Rupier's My Jam got one, Heaven Smile, and Jeff That Noise, Jeff Ball got one.
Wow.
Video Drop game composer indeed. Jeff Ball got a sub to our channel.
Fucking yeah!
Fucking yeah, that's right, Purnell.
I'll wait for the fucking NES to run out.
Oh, it's gonna be a while, I think. I don't know how many more there are.
Terrible.
I guess they're
fucking
done.
Yeah!
Oh, no, there's okay. Another one.
Fucking delayed, yeah.
Love it when you get bombed with subs.
And we got
especially like when you have like a really a really long notification and then you suddenly after like the fourth or fifth one you're like starting to consider like maybe I should have a shorter
that's sound bite. That's why mine is literally just Purnell going fucking yeah. That's it and we're good, so
yeah.
Are we okay? What was that talking about?
Lawn mowing simulator.
So I'm definitely more of like the fishing simulator type, but I don't mind a good blue collar working sim every now and then myself. So for this one, you've actually got to start your own lawn mowing business. You get to name your company, you get to pick your logo, you get to pick your avatar. They actually had a few options for female avatars. Wasn't mad at any of it. Worked fine. Would have liked to have seen a redhead. I don't know why gingers get neglected in all these games. No love for gingers.
Hashtag but,
yeah, it's always the gingers that get left out. I've seen a few times too where there's been like other games that have to put out patch notes and like we're added redheads fucking finally. So here we are, no redheads, but carry on with what you got.
You spent way too long talking about that.
I know it. I spend a lot of long time talking about a lot of stuff that I don't need to spend a long time talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I want to know how it actually works with mowing the grass, because when I was younger in a previous life, I used to do lawn maintenance with my dad, and I would ride like these Skag mowers. I recognized Skag from the write-up as one of the brands in the game, and I used to just ride and cut the grass, and I've always enjoyed just sitting down on a riding mower and going at it. It's
this might
relaxing.
Actually like bring you some peace, because you get to choose from the lawnmowers that you start off with. There's a couple that you can afford in the beginning, and then as your business grows you can hire additional helpers who may or may not be there when you need their asses. They like to go on vacation at inopportune times, as they do. But you'll get to buy more equipment and better equipment as you play. So basically what happens is when you have a contract to mow, you will start off with a tractor, with a trailer, and then your riding mower is on the back of it. You got to go up to it, click to sit on it, and then you'll hold X to start it. Then you'll be able to pull off of the trailer and onto the grass. And then from there, you will, you'll need to like set your throttle and all that shit before you can go to. And then once you're actually on the grass, then you can engage your blades. You have to set the right grass height, because if you hit shit or if you put the blades down when you're not on grass, that'll actually damage them. And then you won't cut as well. So there's health bars for your riding mower and your blade sharpness and just general blade health. Those are all things that you need to keep an eye out for. Once you're on the grass, engage your blade, by lowering your deck, set your height. Then you just drive. You just like you're driving a racing game, but it's a lawnmower and you're going 4 miles an hour in a circle cutting the grass. And I love
it. Sounds so relaxing.
It really kind of is, right? It's just one of those, like, you don't have to put in mental effort. You're like, as long as I can hold the trigger and keep the mower going at a steady pace and I'm not missing gaps. I love to yell at David when he's like in the zone and he's just playing Lawnmower Sim and I just randomly go, hey, you missed a spot. And I just throw it all off for him. He has to go back and fix where he missed. But you just kind of, you zone out and you get into it and you're just like, I'm relaxed and I am at peace and the yard looks good. it's just one of those, it's kind of like how people say, oh, pressure washing simulator. You just kind of vibe and it's satisfying. You get that same feeling with something like Lawnmower Sim where you're just like, I'm just in a moment. I didn't complain about this, but David complained that he wishes that more of the mowers, especially the higher end ones, had like a cruise control setting. Cause I guess apparently that's a thing real lawnmowers have and I didn't know it.
Yeah.
And he was like, it would have been nice if they had a cruise control so you could just cruise. And I was like, the lawnmower though. And he was like, trust
inauthentic
me.
Lawnmower is inauthentic. Thumbs down.
Yeah. My mom's old riding mower had a cruise. You would just like set the accelerator where you want it, hold the button down, and it just keeps going at that speed. Apparently, it's like cruise control. It's weird.
Apparently the one that we have out here has cruise control and I didn't even know. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Yeah. So that's a whole last thing. And that was really his only complaint. He was like, I just wish that it had cruise control.
No, otherwise, $30. What are you thinking about this one?
Yeah, I think if you like these kind of simulators and you like, or you just really into doing lawn work and you want to vibe out and mow some grass, spend your money. It's worth it. It's a good one.
Cool. Yeah. Here's my jam saying lawns suck. They're a big waste of water. I didn't choose to have a lawn. I don't like that. Like, we have a small little backyard. If it were up to me, I would just pave it all and, like, throw a basketball hoop back there.
We have a large yard, but we don't water it. If it gets water,
yeah, I was going to say, rains. I never water
we don't
my
water
yard.
That shit.
Ian, you've been here. You know what our backyard looks
actually
like.
We give a shit about having a pretty-looking lawn.
Yeah, no, like... You know what? I was actually bitching at David a couple of days ago because I was like, you're sitting in here playing Lawnmower Simulator and our yard needs mowed.
Nice.
Yeah, but that's actual work.
I know. But our fucking lawnmower has cruise control.
Yeah, but that requires being outside in hot, humid weather. And
I tried to get him to do it before it got hot. Don't listen to me, though.
Yep. On a side note, it is kind of interesting how, like, you call it the blue collar job game. I call it the oddly specific job game because, for example, like Vistra cleanup detail, I feel kind of falls into that category. It's just like a really weird, like the whole genre is kind of, it's interesting how that's suddenly become, rising in prominence and popularity.
Just weird simulators.
Yeah. Cause I remember like hearing about like farming simulator and like just unironically thinking like that looks like the most boring shit in the fucking world.
Mm-hmm. I like farming simulator.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing is that, like you said, you don't play it for the excitement. You just kind of play it to vibe out.
Yeah.
You feel
like you've accomplished something. And sometimes in a game, you can play Call of Duty and have a bad game at Call of Duty and it ruin your whole night. But if you're just playing Farming Simulator and you have some new calves and you're like, fuck yeah, I got calves now.
Yeah, because when I first, when I first started streaming, Viscera was the first thing I did. And strangely enough, people actually enjoyed watching me play it. And it's one of those weird things where it's it's fun to play, but I don't know if I could watch someone else play it, but. Like every other game, it has its own select fan base, and some people just enjoy the chillness of it.
Yeah, my husband will sit and play these games for 12 hours straight, and I'm sitting there going, "Go mow our grass, goddammit! It's actual real grass."
You know what else is 12 hours straight? This review.
Yeah, you should buy a lawnmower sim though.
Next game to talk about is called Glyph, developed and published by Bulwark Games, released February 8th on the Switch for $19.99, released August 9th on PC for $19.99. I just kicked my cat potato in the face. I am so sorry, baby. She's hiding under my desk because there's a thunderstorm.
How dare you, sir?
There's a thunderstorm. I didn't know she was under my desk.
Nothing, I know, baby. Potato, and she potato. Is a lady and a saint.
She is. She's still under my desk, though. She's not mad. Anyway, Glyph's gameplay combines breathtaking aerial maneuvers with tranquil exploration and a stunning 3D platforming experience. Add a mesmerizing original soundscape, and Glyph is lifting you up and whisking you away. Our friend Sarlina covered this one, wrote in a review, and Ian, you're going to read it.
Yay.
Let's hear what Sarlina has to say about Glyph.
All right. Glyph review by Sarlina. Hello, SML friends and fam, it's Serlina. I've got another review for you. This time, I'm reviewing Glyph for the Nintendo Switch. Developed and published by Bulwark Games, Glyph is a platforming adventure game featuring plenty of puzzles to keep you on your toes and collectibles to give you something to strive for. Let's get on with the review. You start out as Glyph, the cutest little mechanical scarab that you'll ever lay eyes on. As Glyph, you must reach the Temple of Anu, collect coins, keys, and artifacts so you can cleanse the area and remove the corruption. You also have a guide, Anobi, a fellow cute mechanical scarab who will give you tools, tips, and the trade of the game. Cool. At first, I was skeptical because the game was too easy, but then once you gain the smash skill, the game starts to show its teeth. Good. With platformers, y'all know how I feel. If I'm not able to gain a double jump in a timely manner, I'll get upset. Thankfully, you get the vast majority of your abilities pretty easily, and you'll need them because you can't complete the levels without them. You get glide, double jump, smash, and a combo to use them all at once, which is actually quite challenging to get the timing of that down. There's only one way to complete a level, and if you can't do it, you get the privilege of starting from the beginning of the level. That's a bit annoying, but at least you can keep all of your collectibles with the exception of keys. Keys unlock the exit, so you'll need to get them again if you die, but that's fine. It didn't bother me too much. The level design is all right. Everything made sense, but I didn't really come across anything super mind-blowing or infuriating. This game is all about momentum. You'll have to learn how to roll effectively when you need to go full speed and when you need to stop. The ways you die are pretty simple. If you fall into the sand, you die. If you touch lava of any sort, you die. Stay on the path, y'all. Each time I died, I knew why I died and what I needed to do to not die the next time. Was this easy to pull off? Not all the time, but that's the point. Of course, we can't forget about our collectibles, can we? No, you collect coins, which you need to open up more levels. You also collect keys, which you can't leave without those. You collect gems, which unlock more wings of the temple. Lastly, you get artifacts, which are used for more levels or costumes. I don't know if costume is the right word here, but you can have different characters, and they're all really well designed. Also, can't forget, you can unlock trials mode. Y'all know what's up with that. Finish the level with certain conditions and show the game who's boss. Trials generally annoy me, but I know there's people who love that sort of gameplay, so go nuts. So here, gotta scroll. Let's see. Graphically, the game is weird to me. Glyph is gorgeous, as is Anobi. They are beautiful. They have markings that light up, and they're just cute. The rest is uninspiring, sadly. You're in a desert, so everything around you is desert-colored, wonderfully bland brown of varying shades. It's also really shiny, so that tells me that some other things could have been done to make the area look interesting, but it really wasn't. Once you reach the temple, there are a couple other things that certainly piqued my interest, but I must admit to being disappointed. Glyph is available on the Nintendo Switch and other platforms for $19.99, and should you buy it, I'll give it a super solid try. I think the game is good enough for a buy it, but the skimping on the graphics really hurt me. Besides all that, I do think it's worth your time and money. There's over 80 levels and a ton of things to gather, so you have plenty to do. Go roll and be free.
Cool beans, sounds good. Hopefully they bring that to more platforms. Like I said, February it hit the Switch, August it hit PC, and we'll see from there.
Yeah.
All right, next up is Dwyros, developed and published by Lithic Entertainment, released August 11th on Xbox One and PS4 for $29.99. Build and grow a new settlement and explore the land surrounding it in this peaceful action adventure and town builder. Search the lush forests of Duskan Woodlands for resources and adventure through the mysterious new places to find lost artifacts. Cole, tell us about your time with Dwyros.
So the Wood Elves' previous settlement got washed away in a flood, and now the elf queen leader has said, hey, we're gonna choose a couple of elves and let them set out to recolonize. Feel a little squicky using that word, but you know, recolonize a new area and set up a new city for the elves. So you have three elves that you start off with, and they have different abilities. One is very handy with a pickaxe and a hatchet, and so you can use that particular elf to collect resources like sticks and trees and stones and gold. The other elf is kind of magically inclined, and so you can, he has like a witching rod that you can use to find hidden treasures. And then the other one is a carpenter, and you'll use that one primarily for building up your settlement. I'd like to say that at the heart of this, it's a city building sim, and I think it kind of wants to be. It certainly has city building sim elements, but it also really heavily focuses on that 3D exploration, almost to a fault. That may just be a me thing, because I really was looking forward to the city building side a little more.
So I'm the opposite. I'm interested in this, but I'm kind of scared off by the city building.
Yeah, the city building is very mundane, very simplified. It is not for somebody who like sees city building and thinks Frostpunk city building strategy, you know, like, this is like baby's first city builder. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just that it's very casual, very easy in. It doesn't expect a whole lot out of you. As long as you can meet the basic needs of like, oh, hey, I found some trees and chopped them down and now everybody's happy, you know, then you're fine. It really wants you to focus more on like going out and exploring and solving the puzzles that are out there. Unfortunately, I think the puzzles are one of the weaker elements. They're well done and they're put together well, but they're just finding them. They're so randomly scattered around, and sometimes you will just, the biggest thing, it's a problem with the puzzles, but it's kind of a problem with the game overall, is that because you're forced to control these three different elves, when you're out exploring with one, if you swap to the other elf, another one, you can swap between them dynamically, but whatever you're doing with one, when you stop using it, it just stands there. So you can't like swap away from one elf after setting it to automatically harvest trees, for example. If you're not controlling it harvesting trees, it's not harvesting trees. So the other ones are just standing around staring at the sky while you're doing whatever with the third elf. In addition to that, that means that they're going to be scattered around the world because you're taking them in different places. So if you find a puzzle and you need all three elves to solve it, you have to hope that there's like a portal that will let you teleport the other elves to you. Otherwise, you have to just switch to them and go wandering around looking for where you were with the other elf, which is kind of a pain. Most of the puzzles I've ran into had a teleporter that would at least pull the elves to you. But there were a couple of places where I was like, I'm pretty sure there's a secret here that I need another elf for, and there's no way to teleport. And so then I would like swap to the other elf, but then I would go off wandering like a fool and have no idea where it was that I actually found something at. And then by the time like 20 minutes passed and I've gone off the other direction and found 74 other things I needed to do. City building, like I said, it's very mundane. You'll have your set area that you're allowed to build in. You need the resources. You have to use the carpenter elf. He has to be at the base where he can build from. You can't just enter the city building at any time freely and build. There would be moments where I would be exploring and I would find elves and ask them to join the settlement, and they'd be like, oh, you don't have enough houses. And I'd be like, cool, I gotta go find the fucking carpenter elf, drag him back to the base, and then build a house, and then swap back to this elf, and then ask them again to come join me. It was just a lot of a lot of complicatedness for things that could have been a little more streamlined. That's really the only thing that I didn't like, though. Like, everything else about it is so casual and just, like, mindless gameplay that I was really interested in. I was like, I don't mind just hacking away at some trees for a while, but boy, I wish it were easier to, like, actually manage the management that needs to be done, right? Yeah, well, yeah, a few quality of life things, but...
Well, as it stands, $29.99 on Dwaro's. What do you think of it?
It's kind of a high price.
Yeah, I was shocked when I saw the price of this one in the store. I was expecting a $20 game out of this. The price kind of threw me for a loop, and it went from a must-buy in my eyes to a wish list. So I'm kind of going to wait and see on this one. It looks really good. The fact that there's not a ton of this ton to the town building has me a lot more interested now.
Yeah.
But
I think that was the harder part for me, too, is that because I was so roped in by the idea of it being a city builder, and then it was so much more scaled down than I was expecting. That makes it a little harder for me to be like, yeah, this is a great game for city builders and it's worth 30, because it's like, 20, like you said, 20 would have felt like a more comfortable price point for it. But as it is, like, if you really like the idea and you're looking for that kind of relaxing, no risk gameplay, or if you have kids that might be interested in wanting to play a city builder or a management game, then it would be well suited to them as well.
Cool. Sounds good. And it is rated E for everyone. So
it is. Yeah. The number 3 started playing it. So.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up is The Last Survey, developed by SA Games, published by Red Deer Games, released August 6th on the Switch for $14.99. You play the role of a specialist contracted by a big company. You discovered something very disturbing about the future of the entire planet, and it's up to you to deliver the bad news. Serlina covered this one as well, wrote in a review. Ian, what does she say this time?
Let's see here. Girl Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Last Survey on Nintendo Switch, published by Nicholas O'Brien. The Last Survey is missing it. Well, all right, let's see, since you just pretty much recapped that, let's get on with the review. As with most essays and visual novels, I can't get into the story too much as I don't want to spoil the story. Instead, I'll talk about the quality of writing and how the story made me feel. Gotta say, the story is incredibly well done. Nicholas does a fantastic job of weaving an interesting story. The level of detail put into each word and the effect that it gave me was surprising. For example, right in the beginning, I knew exactly where the story took place just because of a certain mixed drink called a... give me a bonus. I try to figure this one out. Caipirinha? Caipirinha?
Caipirinha?
Nope. It's Caipirinha. Caipirinha.
Caipirinha. Okay.
I'm probably butchering the pronunciation, but I apologize to all of our Brazilian friends out there. Granted, this may be because of all the years I spent as a bartender, and I know the origins of many drinks, but whatever. It's always the subtle touches that I admire the most, and this game is chock full of them. You'll find yourself being slowly pulled into the story. At first, you'll feel the details to be almost too much as the protagonist thinks about things that are practically mundane, but then you'll quickly begin to realize that every detail is used to build suspense. Not in the you'll be scared to death suspense, but the what's going to happen next variety. Everything is placed perfectly to build on that sense. As you continue, you begin to see what type of person the protagonist is and what type of person the executive is. I won't ruin anything, but I think it's fair to say that each person has layers to them. There's a few instances where you can choose what the protag says or does, but it doesn't impact the story all that much, and I don't mind the flavor text one bit. As an essay game, the graphics are minimal but crisp. It's a black background with white lettering, but there are hand-drawn pictures that transition throughout the story that help give you more insight into the story. They can really give you visual clarity into what the protag is thinking or feeling, so they were very welcome. There's also a bit of a soundtrack in the game. It was decent and didn't feel out of place or overpower the words. After all, it's those delicious words that are the highlight here. Last Survey is available on Nintendo Switch and Steam for $4.99, and should you buy it?
That's where I got to jump in quick. She has her info wrong. It is not $4.99 on the Switch. It is $14.99 on the Switch, but it is on sale right now for $8.99. So it might be cheaper on Steam. I didn't check the Steam page for this, but the Switch price is significantly higher than the $4.99 that she thought it was. So I'm not too sure how her verdict would would change knowing the updated price tag?
Okay, well, it is for $5 on Steam. Well, $4.99 on Steam, and that is its price. It's not on sale or anything like that. So we'll take this within the context of the Steam price. I mean, I'm not going to try to put words in her mouth if it was like 14, but within the Steam price of $4.99. Should you buy it? Yeah, it's also $5. So fuck it, why not? It's only about an hour of read time, and the story is certainly compelling enough. Not to mention, this was largely done by one person, and I have massive respect for the level of polish applied. There's absolutely nothing wrong with a minimalist game, and it gets more props from me because it's actually good. So go support. He deserves. All right. So as far as the Steam price of $4.99 goes, it sounds like she's totally on board and wholeheartedly recommends it. As for the Switch price of, what was it, $14.99? Yeah, is that what she said?
$14.99 for the Switch. It is on sale right now. It is showing $8.99. I don't know how long that sale will be for. So I just based off $14.99, I would wager that she would give it more of a try it verdict.
Yeah, maybe a slightly more tentative try it. Yeah,
based on the price of it.
I don't want
to put
words in her mouth, but yeah.
But yeah, it sounds like a good experience.
Yeah, if you can get it for $5, she wholeheartedly recommends it.
Cool.
There you go.
All right, next up is Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles, developed by Prideful Sloth, published by Merge Games. It released August 5th on Xbox Series X and S and PS5 for $29.99. Unwind and enjoy the slow life in Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles, a relaxing open-world adventure game. Paul, you checked this out a while ago, and it is now available on Series X and S and PS5. Mm-hmm. What's up now?
So it's 4K now. Yay!
Is it prettier?
Yeah, it is. But it's also got a little bit of issues. I don't know if it was HDR on my TV that was proven to be the problem. But there were certainly some scenes that were a little more washed out than they should have been. And also because the colors are darker on the menus for crafting, sometimes they're a little too dark and I can't tell what the fuck I'm looking at without the descriptive text. I can't find the setting to fix this. I assume it must be my TV because I can't find anything specifically that says like HDR is turned on. So either it's my TV doing it or the Xbox is auto adding HDR. It's not to a point that it's game breaking and I can't play it, and it doesn't affect the fact that the game just looks prettier. Like, that's still very clear. Everything's a lot more crisp. It's really a lovely game, and it shows. And it's an enjoyable, peaceful kind of just explore. Unfortunately, I explore a little too well in these games. I get lost, and then I have like a to-do list that's like 90 miles long, and I'm sitting there going, I don't know what to do first because I've just been walking around casually picking these pretty flowers. But yeah, apart from the newfound oversaturation of some of the menus, man, it looks good. I already really enjoyed Yonder when I played it the first time. And I think it was one of those games that, like, not enough people gave the time of day to. But as it is now, it's just like, how can you not take some time and play something like this? It's stunning. It's so pretty. And it played well before, and it plays well still. I will say I don't know that the upgrades that have been made to it are enough to justify a whole ass new release, though.
Yeah, and this is more like, for people who missed out the first time as opposed to people looking for an upgrade.
Yeah.
There is no loyalty discount to this. It is $29.99 no matter what.
Yeah, there's no free upgrade for the original Xbox version or any of that. And I think that's the hardest sell here. Like, if you already have it, it already played well and it was already pretty as it was. And it's kind of hard to tell somebody who already has it, hey, yeah, you should throw down $30 again. but if you did miss out on it and you do enjoy these these casual, peaceful kind of I almost call them hidden objects sometimes because you're just kind of exploring around looking for random shit to interact with, right?
No.
these kind of exploratory games with a little bit of farming thrown in for good measure, then, you know, you missed a good one and you should pick this up.
Cool. So $30, your official verdict on this?
Definitely buy it if you missed out on it the first time, but if you've already got it, I know it's kind of a little harder of a sell with the upgrades. You have to really want that 4K.
And who doesn't love 4K, right?
That is true. That's a good point.
All shiny and pretty and speaking so of shiny pretty. And pretty, we got to get Dark Mika in here. Aki, how are you doing?
I am the shiniest and the prettiest. It works.
Yay. Aki, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
Cool. Next game to talk about.
Yay.
Aki, you got two games to talk about. We'll try to get through these quick. Next one to talk about is Foreclosed, developed by Antab Studio, published by Merge Games, released August 12th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, Switch, PC, and Stadia for $19.99. Foreclosed is a narrative-driven action-adventure set in a cyberpunk world filled with action, suspense, and experimental augmentations. Follow the story of Evan in the sleek comic book styled world as he unravels the conspiracy behind the identity foreclosure. Who is responsible and why? Aki, tell us what is Foreclosed.
All right. It's a comic book style of action game.
Helpful.
Yeah, I know, right? Basically, in this world, everyone has implants in their head that basically give them access to, like, ads and shit like you see in Minority Report and shit like that. And part of that is you also have to pay for your existence because corporations are corporations. So your identity as a human being costs money.
Oh, geez.
And most people are not wealthy enough to own their own IDs. So instead, everyone is property, effectively. And at the beginning of the game, it's decided that because the place that you're employed has gone bankrupt, you no longer have an ID, which means you are no longer a person. You can't access anything. Like, you can't even buy food, because you have to buy food out of your own fucking refrigerator.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's fucking misery. And they have little fake roadblocks set up that are all in your mind, but they overheat the circuitry in your head if you try to bypass them.
And so Samsung has gone too far.
Damn right. And so you can't really go much anywhere. And then you find out, oh, some people are trying to kill you as you're trying to get to the courthouse to figure out what the fuck to do. And then your old employer's like, oh, hey, let me help you out of this. Turns out it's all because you have some unallowed experimental fucking firmware to your chip that is highly illegal and something that your boss and her scientists or something, I assume, decided to install in you illegally as well. Yeah, and it's turned all your worlds into shit because no one knows how to keep their dick in their pants anymore. Metaphorically speaking.
I was going to say. This was not an After Dark review that I knew of.
Takes on a whole new meaning.
And basically, this is all about you just trying to solve this by doing your boss's bidding because you're... This entire thing, your character really does not seem to have any ideas of his own. He just does whatever he's told to do. He's a fucking tool, in the most literal of senses. And yeah, this firmware gives him super access to his fucking implant and gives him all new special abilities like telekinesis somehow and being able to overclock his guns without using ammunition. Somehow, and creating shields with mind powers. Somehow.
Yeah,
they don't fucking explain any of it. The action's pretty good. The achievements are super duper easy for any of you achievement whores out there. All the secret achievements are just for playing through the game, and all the ones that aren't are just for killing people in one of a handful of different ways. Just two different versions of those. One for killing them X amount of times, and one for killing them more. So, yeah, pretty easy. The game takes like, I don't know, 8 hours maybe to 100% it. The art style is pretty nice. The voice acting is so-so. The story is, well, I guess it has a story, maybe. The story is not particularly impressive. It's told in tiny little amounts as the characters bicker back and forth, and it's kind of crap. I'm not going to lie. It's not very well written. And they don't really explain fucking anything at all about anything, period, ever in this entire thing. Which is kind of sad, because it seems like an interesting world and an interesting concept, but they just didn't really do anything with it. It seems like they created the gameplay and the levels, and they're like, oh, maybe we want some story to string all this stuff together a little bit.
but so it's fun, it just doesn't feel like there's a purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. The action's pretty fun. I will definitely give them that. The gunplay is fine. It's not like the best gunplay ever, but for a little indie game, this is pretty nice. The special abilities are fun. You can pick up people and shoot them in the air. You can grab objects and throw them at people and kill them. Like, it can be pretty fun. So,
Skeet shooting with humans.
Exactly. And there's two different endings, which aren't impacted by anything other than a choice at the very end.
Well, yeah,
and it takes all of 5 seconds like to go Effect. Through either one of them. No, because Mass Effect had a longer ending.
Oh.
And it had pillars.
Oh.
All right. Well, this one is $20 right now. It is also on sale for the next 2 weeks for $15.99. What do you think of this one?
I say wait to get it on a sale. There's not a lot here, and the story is not particularly good. And for me, that's usually what sells these games.
It is on sale. Is $15.99 a good enough sale?
I don't think so. I'd wait until it was like $10-$12, personally.
All right.
The action, again, the action isn't too bad, but there's not a lot of it, sadly. This game is very short.
Oh, all right. Well, one final game to talk about tonight is called Crimson Spires, developed by Woodsy Studio and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released August 11th on Xbox One, PS4, PS5, and Switch for $19.99. Who can you trust as you investigate a town mysteriously cut off from the rest of the world? Aki, tell us about Crimson Spires.
Okay, you play as little hottie detective number one in this, and you're on, I assume, vacation or something when you're called up by your boss and told, hey, yeah, prison transport vehicle carrying a serial killer has gone off the rails. Go look, go find it. You're close. So you do. And there you meet one of your future bachelors for this game. August, also known as the Heartbreaker, a serial killer who rips people's hearts out, dissects them, and stabs them into the ground.
Oh, so it's not just a catchy title.
No, certainly not. After you find him, everything kind of goes to shit. You find the prison transport van has crashed. All the people are dead, except for one that you find. And, then August gets the jump on you and takes the other agent with a piece of glass by the throat. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to get out of here now. You can fuck off. And then suddenly the ground explodes and giant spires come out of the ground and they're covered in bright red. Now you get the name of the game.
Makes sense now.
Yeah, and all three of you are in a state of shock, and of course the other officer decides to walk over, and pop goes the weasel with his head popping like a zit, which is real fun. And then it skips to 6 months later. You're still in the town because there's no fucking way out. Because anyone who tries to get in between the like many, many towers, there's towers that's popped up in a complete circle around this little fucking hillbilly podunk piece of shit town. And anyone who tries to go past it, pop goes the weasel. No more head.
Oh, it's like Running Man.
Yeah, except for less fun.
And no Arnold.
That sounds like a plus to me, but okay. And the great thing about this town is it's one of the, again, it's a podunk hillbilly fucking shithole. But it's also one of those towns where everyone's like, Mistake Amendment rights. God told me to protect the country from the FDA, the NRA, and all the motherfucking places. Like, they're that kind of stupid. Like, FBI, they think they're against FBI, they're against local law enforcement, they think it fucking chemtrails exist and shit. That is the level of what this town is. And your little hottie FBI agent detective is like, I hate this fucking place. For obvious reasons.
Take care of freedoms.
Exactly. So the first five chapters of this are just you getting introduced to a handful of characters in the game, namely the four love interests, for lack of a better word. You don't have to romance them, I guess. You could make them hate you, but I assume that leads to a very bad end. And I don't do bad ends in these games, because that's stupid. But the first is, obviously, August, who you met in the first place. And I was not joking when I said he was a love interest. He is, because some people are stupid. Then there's... the city is named after and ruled by a family, and I've already forgotten their fucking name.
Proud of you.
Because it's just that important. And it's headed by Charlotte and Julian, and Julian becomes a possible love interest, as well as their little brother, Liam, who isn't like a kid or anything. He's still an adult. He's another love interest. And then you're forced to get a deputy because all the police decided to try and destroy a tower, and when that failed, they tried to just get out of town because they're all stupid. So you're literally the only sheriff in the town, the only police officer at all. So the family decides you're getting a deputy, and they just hand you over a young woman named Madeline, who goes by Maddie. No training, no nothing. She's not a cop. She doesn't know shit. She's like a farmhand. it's like, this is your new detective now. Have fun. God.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're trying to find two missing teenagers, which just, that's all you're doing for the first five chapters, is just getting used to these four people and Charlotte the bitch. And trying to find these two kids, trying to figure out what the fuck happened to them, because you don't find any of their bodies anywhere around the any of the towers, because the officer has counted them on a regular basis, because some people just decide to give up and go pop goes the weasel themselves to make life easier, because, you know, you're not going to fail suicide attempts if your head explodes, I guess. So
you
she
never
has
no. I mean,
yeah. I guess it's possible they could. I mean, lawyers do exist. So my mom works for lawyers, so I get to make that joke.
so anyway,
so she knows how many people's out there, so she counts them. She's like, okay, they're not here. So she has to figure out what the fuck has happened to him, because she doesn't know. And that just leads to a lot of weird shit afterwards that I don't want to get into, because it does ruin parts of the story. But in chapter 6, there's only 10 chapters in the game, but in chapter 6, you decide who you're going to partner up with to solve the questions of the city. Any one of those four are choosable, and they all go in completely different paths. So you really do want to play it all over again. Or if you're me, you do the smart thing and you make a save right at the beginning of that chapter, and then play through one and go back to that save and play through the fucking next one and just keep doing that because you have a few brain cells to rub together. So each one of them is a love interest. I only played through Maddie because obviously I was going to pick the only lesbian romance in it because obviously.
Yeah.
And then I went for Liam because he's just adorable. I don't know when or if I'll bother with the other two because the other two are clearly self-important assholes.
Oh, God. Well, Crimson yeah. Spires is sitting at $20. It is also on sale for the next 2 weeks down to $15.99. What do you think?
Totally worth it. It's really well written. I love the characters. It's mostly voice acted. Sometimes some lines are just little snippets, but lots of lines are actually fully voice acted. And everyone has very nice voices, especially Liam and Maddie.
Cool. All right, well, that's it for this episode. Made it through. And this is Yay. Where Cole would normally be like, hooray, but she got disconnected. Apparently, her computer blue-screened a whole bunch of times.
Ooh.
So that sounds
fun.
Oh,
she probably didn't update Skype.
Yeah, fucking Skype.
What exactly happened to your Skype earlier?
What was that?
What happened to Skype earlier, exactly?
Well, Windows claimed it had an update.
Okay.
So it required a restart because, you know, Windows. So I restarted and I clicked on the Skype button and nothing happened.
Huh.
So I opened up the file explorer, went to the folder that contained the app, you know, the program, and I saw the exe and I clicked on it and nothing happened. So I opened up the task manager to see if that there was like some kind of weird background process that was kind of hanging up, and there was no Skype related processes being ran. It's just, it didn't feel like running. And since, you know, support for it is absolute fucking garbage, despite the fact that there are a metric assload of people that have the same problem, basically the closest remedy that anyone can come up with is reinstall.
Do you actually install the EXE, or is this are you on a computer that uses apps? Because if you're on a computer that does apps, do the app. It works significantly better than the EXE on those types of computers, like Windows 10.
I just downloaded it from the official site and installed it from there. So
actually use the EXE instead of the app on Windows 10 because I would have so many issues with the app crashing.
Weird. I wonder if that's what I'm using.
It might be.
Yeah,
that's it for this episode. I don't know why we're still going on about this on this episode. Thanks to Cole and Jacob for being here. Thanks to the two of you for being here, hanging out. Been a long episode, so we're going to wrap it up with some music. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Never trust anyone that can spell gonorrhea on the first try.
No comments.